Lord, we just come to you this morning and we thank you so much. We just thank you and praise you, Lord. Every day, we're just grateful to get up out of bed and meet a new day. And it's a beautiful, cool breeze this morning, and it's just good to be alive, Lord. And we just thank you so much. You watch over us and you protect us and you guide us and you love us, and you just keep showing us mercy and grace and give us your peace. And you're an awesome, wonderful God, and we love you. And we lift this time up to you this morning, Lord, as we look at your word and talk about it. And we just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be here to guide us. Help us to learn what you want us to learn. Help us to hear what you want us to hear, Lord. We just open up our minds and our hearts, and we just pray, Lord, that you would just fill us with what you want to fill us with. And we just thank you so much, and we just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, like I said, we're on the Spirit brings liberty and the Spirit transforms us into the image of Christ, which is in Corinthians, but I want to start with a passage in John. And that is John 8:31. Yeah, Jesus is having an encounter with some Pharisees and other Jews here that don't believe that he is who he says he is. And you know what? Let's start at 12.
We're in John
8. And I was going to go 31 to 59, but we're going to back up to 12. So we're going to do the first 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him, "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one, but if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. "Just as I have been claiming all along," Jesus replied, "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him I tell the world." They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. Now, when they say lifted up here, usually you think of lifted up as like exalting, but they're talking about the crucifixion here.
Yeah.
And they definitely knew he was somebody special once the crucifixion. To the children, this starts 31 here. "To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" So here's the first offer here of the freedom and the liberty that we're talking about. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you're ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you were determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father that we have is God himself." And Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Ouch. That's funny that you said that.
Oh, because
I wrote ouch beside my, right after that in my Bible. Yeah, that's a pretty hard thing to be told, right? I'm going to go on to 59. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." At this, the Jews exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," the Jews said to him, "and you've seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered. "Before Abraham was, I am." At this they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. I love that there when he says, "Before Abraham was born,
I am."
I am. So he's having this encounter with the Pharisees and some other Jews, and they were blind, right? I mean, they were blind. They couldn't see Jesus for who he is. And they were blinded by their lifelong traditions, you know, that they held very, very dear. They were blinded by the rituals and the routines and doing all the stuff that they were taught, following Moses, or so they thought. And why not? I mean, look what Moses did, you know? Moses changed everything for, you know, the Jews. I mean, you know, Moses, you know, took the pharaohs on. You know, the pharaoh was not just a king. The pharaoh was seen as a god. And he took the pharaoh on and won. And called down plagues from heaven and... I'm sorry. I'm losing my voice.
verse 47, whoever belongs to God, here's what God says, the reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. I thought of people that are not Christian and have not been saved. When they try and read the Bible, it means nothing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it holds true forever.
Forever.
Yep.
Absolutely.
But, you know, these guys were... They were following Moses, you know, part of the Red Sea. He met God. He brought the Ten Commandments down from the mountain. I mean, he did things that nobody had done for them and nobody had seen before. And of course, they're holding him in tremendous high regard, and they should. But you know, here's Jesus standing before them, and there'd been a lot of time from the time of Moses and from the time of Abraham until Jesus is standing here before them now. And, of course, everything gets twisted.
And if they had really listened to the prophets, they would have recognized who Jesus was.
Yes.
Yeah.
But everything gets twisted, and they don't. You know, they don't see him for who he is. They don't understand it. Huh? Okay.
Well, hello.
Hi.
Just getting ready to shut you out.
Lou, your prayer was answered there.
What's that?
Probably about 6 feet in here. You said you cover some things with him.
I'm in here to participate, not to.
Oh, okay.
Not to take charge.
Right.
Glad to see you, there, brother.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry I'm late.
That's all right.
It's okay.
Better late than never.
So we're talking about...
In John 8.
The stuff we've been doing, I don't know if you ever listened to any of the recordings or whatever, but we've been following like the 50 things that the Holy Spirit does, and we're talking about the fact that the Spirit brings freedom and liberty, and that the Spirit transforms us into the image of Christ. But I jumped back to John and was just reading everything about where Jesus is having the conversation with the Pharisees and the Jews, and they don't believe who he says he is, and they're, you know, we're just right there at John 8, and we read all through
verse 12 to 59,
that whole conversation. But they were blinded. They couldn't see who he was because they were too busy doing what they thought they were supposed to be doing. And they had been caught so much up in the ritual and so much up in all of the things that they thought they were supposed to do, jumping through all the hoops, that they were too blind. They were veiled. They couldn't see that was their Messiah standing right there in front of them. And they were also blinded by their own self-righteousness and their position in the church and position in the communities. And so Jesus called them the children of the devil.
You know, it's funny too, because verse 54, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing.
Yeah.
Well, the Pharisees and them did glorify themselves.
Yeah.
Yep.
So not only are their eyes veiled, their hearts veiled, their minds are veiled, but then here's Jesus, and he comes in, and he's challenging everything that they thought they knew.
Yeah.
He's challenging everything that they thought they knew, right? I mean, they were doing what they were taught, right? For generations, they were taught that they were supposed to do things a certain way, and they were supposed to do these particular rituals and do them all exactly like this. And of course, over time, you know, things get a little twisted, things get a little changed, things get added to, but they were so stiff-necked that they'd rather kill him than listen to him.
Yeah.
Right? They were picking up stones to stone him because they would rather kill him. And I've asked this question probably in here before, but it's just an interesting thought to me that I want to ask this question again. If we were just in here having church and Jesus walked into our church looking just like the rest of us, and he started standing up in the middle of church, and he started questioning things that we were saying and things that we were doing, and he started challenging the things that we were doing and challenging Steve and things in the sermon. What would we do?
A lot of us wouldn't recognize him.
Yeah. What would we do? You know, would we pass him off as some crazy guy? Would we call security? Would we take time to listen to him?
That would be a hard one.
Probably we'd call security.
Probably.
Nowadays.
You think our discernment would sink in? The Holy Spirit would let us know.
You would hope the minute he walked in, your spirit would be.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But we all believe that when he comes back again, I mean, he's going to come back and he's going to take us, you know, take the believers out. And then when he comes back again, he's going to come back and every eye will see, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. You know, so it's supposed to be a wonderful, glorious thing that people are not going to miss. But so the chances that he would just walk into our church is probably pretty slim. But what if he did?
Yeah. Take that down.
I know, but I ask the question mostly because, you know, sometimes just like the Jews and the Pharisees, you know, we can get so wrapped up in playing church and doing what we think we're supposed to be doing and going through all the motions and doing all the stuff that, you know, that's why I ask.
Churches follow a ritual and they don't want to budge from that ritual no matter what. You know, I mean, there's a lot of churches out there that are not spirit-filled churches. People just go and leave.
Exactly.
Yep. Sunday service is over, now I can go back to doing whatever I was doing.
Yeah. There are lots. I'm sorry to have.
No, I was just thinking. There's no doubt in my mind, though, that there's angels that pop in to different churches.
Sure.
You know, and it was one time, even in here, one time it was somebody that I saw and talked to the person and all that stuff. And very nice gentleman. And all of a sudden, I never seen him again. Ever. And I still to this day, I wonder if he was an angel just coming in and listening to everything, seeing what things were. I don't know.
But, says we've entertained angels unaware, right?
You know,
I believe there's angels among us.
Oh, I think so.
Or
I think
it
does
happen. And they show themselves a lot of times, too.
Don't you think?
What's that?
And sometimes they're not very pretty looking angels either. And sometimes they come looking like a dog with four legs.
You sure does.
Yes.
I remember that story.
What? I didn't hear what you said, Dorothy. What did you say?
I said good angels and bad angels.
Oh, good and bad.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
Satan's going to try to destroy everything.
There's a lot of Christians or people who claim to be Christians, quite honestly, that they don't really have the relationship with Christ, and they don't recognize the Holy Spirit, and they don't understand, and they don't recognize things. And you know, that's the whole point, is it's not just about playing Christian. We've got to have that relationship. We have to have that relationship. And if we have that relationship and we have that Holy Spirit inside of us, I would hope that if Jesus walked into our presence, we would recognize him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We would recognize him and probably all fall on our faces.
Yeah.
On the floor, our faces.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, Scripture gets twisted and distorted, and just like the Jews then, things were just, you know, added, and we're doing it again today.
Yeah.
Right? We're doing it again today. We twist Scripture, we water it down, we pull it out of context, we do all kinds of things to it, and, you know, we start to form our own version of what we think Christianity is.
You know,
it's of what it looks like.
Because we do it in the name of love.
Oh, I know.
Otherwise, it's watered down in the name of love, where we are accepting the sin, and we shouldn't be.
Exactly.
But see, that's what, the reason I compare this is because I think a lot of these Jews and these teachers of the law, you know, Jesus calls them a brood of vipers, and he calls them snakes, but I'm telling you that I don't.
Yeah,
I think they were doing what they thought they were supposed to be doing and serving God for the most part. Now, were some of them corrupt? Sure, I'm sure. Did some of them use it for political power? Yes, probably so. But I think that, you know, I don't think they set out. You know, if you were a Pharisee, you were a person set apart and you know, taught for years and years and years. And it was generational, you know.
That's what was so remarkable about Paul, you know, because he had all that knowledge, and he was so brilliant. And then, boom, once God got into him, that's it.
So, I guess I brought all that up, and the point is that we definitely have to keep that relationship going, because any relationship takes work, right?
Yeah.
Any relationship can fall apart, and fortunately we have the Holy Spirit that's going to prompt us and keep whispering in our ear and speaking in our hearts and pulling us back if we start to go astray. But we got to do our part of that too. I mean, it's not works getting us into salvation, but we need to work on that relationship every single day.
Constant, every minute, right? More so than a human relationship.
Okay.
I mean, if we put into Christ what we put into trying to make our own relationships here on earth good, if we go that far and a step further, it's unbelievable what he'll do. And the more we work at it, the more he'll do.
Yes. Yes. The more that we are ready and prepared and put work into it, the more he's going to. Yeah.
I think probably when you think about him coming into worship service, it reminds me a little bit of Mary, when she was in the garden, she saw him and supposed him to be the gardener.
Yeah.
She didn't recognize him. But then he said, Mary. And she knew, okay? And Jesus said, even in these verses here, he says, my sheep hear my voice. And I think in one quick pronouncement, when he stepped in the door, you wouldn't think he was some stranger to call the police on. He'd say, oh my goodness. And the sheep would know. Okay?
The sheep would know, yeah.
It's true.
But the sheep are the ones that are following.
And so we just got to be sheep.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know, because I was talking about veils and you know, having veils and stuff, and then I thought it kind of led me to go, oh, well, you know, we're the bride of Christ. And I thought about what a bride does before a wedding and how much it goes into it and how early they start preparing. And you know, everyone that I've ever talked to that's talking about getting married, it's like, oh, everybody goes on diets and they make all these plans and they try to, you know, they get their hair done just right. They spend big money getting their hair done, their makeup done, their, you know, getting just the right stuff, and everything's got to be perfect because they're putting all this effort into being the very, very best that they can, so that when they walk down that aisle, the groom is standing there and just goes, wow.
Yeah.
And I thought, how cool would it be if we put that much preparation into being the bride of Christ that when he sees us, he would go, wow. I mean, we fall a little short of that, I'm afraid, but that image just...
But thank God Jesus came and knows what we're like.
Yes.
And made a way for us.
Yes.
And he loves us.
In spite of, yes.
And he wants us in spite of.
Okay, now let's go to the 2 Corinthians that we were going to go to in the first place. This is 2 Corinthians 3. And the paper that we're working off of said verse 17 and...
But you're going where? First.
I'm going to go to verse 7. Let's start at verse 7. Yeah, this said, the Spirit brings liberty. That's 2 Corinthians 3:17. And the next one is, the Spirit transforms us in the image of Christ, which is 2 Corinthians 3:18. So that's why I threw those two together. starting at verse 7.
Is it chapter 3?
Chapter 3, 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 7. It says, "Now, if the ministry that brought death was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts?" Now that's just 7 through 11, but he's talking about, of course, the commandments versus the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
He's talking about how much glory there was in the Ten Commandments. And in the law, but he's now saying that the glory of the Holy Spirit far surpasses and is much more glorious than what the commandments even were. And he says, the ministry of the Spirit. What is the ministry of the Spirit?
Every day.
And it says the ministry. It says the ministry of the Spirit, and if you look down through there, it talks about. It says that it brings righteousness.
Yeah.
There's footnotes down there. It talks about bringing righteousness, life giving, instead of death.
Could the difference be that with the commandments and everything, it's works, but if you have the Holy Spirit, it's not works to do what's right. Would that be?
Well, the Spirit brings us our righteousness.
Right.
We can't earn the righteousness,
right?
And you can't, you know, you can't follow the law.
But you have a desire.
Which you have a desire.
Exactly.
But the Holy Spirit brings us our righteousness.
Yeah.
It says, "Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And there's the freedom part. And it says, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is a Spirit."
Now, is this Paul talking to the Jews?
Yeah, this is Paul. This is Paul talking to the people in Corinth.
Right.
They weren't Jews. Most of them were Gentiles.
Oh, okay, that's what
I'm not saying there weren't any Jews there, but... But he's just saying that the law brought conviction and death, and the Spirit brings life. But those who are in Christ have had that veil removed. The Holy Spirit's living in us and helps us to truly understand the gospel and frees us from that bondage. Bondage to what? What bondage are we freed from?
The law.
We're freed from the bondage of the law. We're freed from the bondage of sin. Right? We're freed from the bondage of fear. We're free from the bondage of death. We're free from the bondage of Satan. I mean, we're free. We're free indeed. That's right. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I love that, you know, I love that it talks about the veils being removed, because, you know, when you said if Jesus walked in here, we would see him, and that's why we don't have that veil. We have been given the Holy Spirit that has removed that, and our spirit connects with his, and we should recognize right away. But it's I love that it says we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. To reflect Jesus. I mean, that's incredible to be able to do that. To be able to do that. What's that?
His spirit's here, for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, we can unveiled faces. We can gaze into the Lord. We can gaze into his word and gain understanding. And we have things that the Jews didn't have and many still don't have because they choose not to have. But, you know, it's not just the Jews. All of the people that don't know Christ today are still living life through that veil, looking through that veil. And like you said earlier, it's like, you know, people, if you've not accepted Christ, they can read the scripture, they can read the word, and it's just words. It doesn't mean anything. You know, I mean, I think there's power in the word, and I think that when you read it, it helps you to start seeing some things. And of course, God's going to use his word because his word's alive, and it's, you know,
it won't come back void.
Right, it won't come back void. But you know, it's awesome that we can read it and we can read the same thing over and over and over, and it still just keeps speaking to us in so many different ways. I mean,
yeah.
I love that. It doesn't matter how much you read it. It still is alive.
Yeah, you'll read something one day, and then 2 days later you'll read it, and all of a sudden it'll hit you. Oh, now I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, and this always astounds me, you'll have a question in your mind, and you'll read it, you'll go to some place in the Bible and it will be answered. Or you'll walk into a service and that is what the sermon is.
Exactly.
How he works.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, that's one thing. I knew this was the right place when we came here. Because the first few weeks that you was preaching up there, I was just studying all that, you know. And I says, wow, this has got to be a confirmation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the right place, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was. That's how he, you know, he verified it, you know.
He's a very good coordinator of events. And
amazing, all over the world.
Yeah, I never will forget that.
But I think this is revealing glory and glory. The more we're able to see Jesus, the more people see Jesus when they look at us.
That's true.
Yeah. So, and then also when we're looking at people, you know, we can look beyond all the stuff and see the possibility of Christ, even if they're not there yet. You know, you can still see, you know.
Our reflection is kind of dim and imperfect right now, but I love that does not say that we were changed. It says we are being transformed. That's ongoing. That's just not a one-time event. That's ongoing. We are keep being transformed. And the word that is used there, I thought it was real interesting because the Greek word there is that, like, I don't know how to say it. It's like metamorphe or something. That's basically the word that we get metamorphosis. But it's the same word that was used in Matthew and I think Mark when they were talking about the transfiguration of Jesus. And I thought, wow, that kind of hit a little deeper for me when I thought about that. I thought, wow, this is the transfiguration of Jesus. You know, this is him being glorified and his glorified, you know, as his glorified body and person is what, you know, they saw him being changed, being totally transformed, becoming what all of Jesus, that what he's going to be, you know, or what he is. And they got a glimpse of that. And I'm like, wow, that's the same word that they're using here. It's like, I'm not just going to be like cleaned up and made a better person. I'm being transformed into that righteousness. That's powerful to me.
Yeah.
That's powerful. But that's the same word.
Yeah. That's the filling of the Holy Spirit you guys talked about last week. That's the filling of the Holy Spirit you guys talked about last week. It's not an event, it's an ongoing.
And there's times that it comes on stronger, or that he uses you all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But we're constantly being filled with him. That's amazing when you stop and think about it.
Oh.
Every day is not an ordinary day. It might be an ordinary day to you, but
no.
He's still working in.
That's right.
And he gives us everything we need every day.
Yep.
We just have to choose what we're going to do with it. Everything we need every day. That's all I really have on that section right there. So, I don't know how much time we have left. It's 9:48. I'll probably bring it out here. Anybody else have anything? Let's close in prayer. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you that you just keep giving and giving and giving. And we don't deserve it, but you give it to us anyhow, Lord. Thank you that we don't have to earn the things that you give us, that it is your love, just like a parent or a father gives a child, Lord. You just keep giving us because you love us. And that in itself is very humbling, that the God of the universe, the creator of all things that we know, loves us so much, not just as a people, but individually, as individual people. And Lord, you've got a plan for each of us. And we just need to be able to look diligently for your plan, stay in your word, stay in prayer, stay with you, Lord, and be willing and be obedient. And we just pray that you would help us to do that. That you would help us to be the kind of Christians that you want us to be. That we can become more and more and more like you. Open our eyes and our minds and our hearts, Lord. We pray that you will be with Brandon as he shares a message today. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just abound in this place. That you would just fill us all, Lord. And as we go into worship and praise, that you would just help us to know that you are here with us. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you and we praise you and we lift all of this up to you. In your precious name. Amen.
Amen.